For the ninth time in the history of the franchises, the 49ers will face the Dallas Cowboys in the NFL postseason. 2 days after the 49ers advanced with a victory over the Seattle Seahawks, the Dallas Cowboys made easy work of Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Monday night. It'll be the 49ers and the Cowboys on Sunday afternoon at Levi's Stadium. Rookie quarterback Brock Purdy will try to remain on a roll as the 49ers enter the NFL's Elite Eight. Jennifer Lee Chan and I will discuss how this game sets up for the 49ers and how the faithful should also be the grateful for the team's season-opening quarterback depth chart of Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Purdy. Also, what is the biggest area of concern for the 49ers at this stage of the season? We will discuss that and more on this episode of 49ers Talk, coming at you right now.
Welcome to another edition of 49ers Talk on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, Matt Mayoko.
All right, this is 49ers Talk brought to you by Big O Tires, a special bonus edition of 49ers Talk with Jennifer Lee Chan. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello.
What do you think of that Monday night game?
Okay, well, let's get the elephant, talk about the elephant in the room. How does a kicker miss 4 point afters?
I have the answer for that.
Okay. Yep.
Wide right, wide right, wide left, off the right upright. That's how.
Wow.
Okay. And so I mean, we have so much to talk about.
Yes.
In so little time because, like, you know, we have a restriction because our people don't want us talking too much. But I got to believe if it comes down to Brett Maher against Robbie Gould.
I know who my money is on.
Yeah, I think so, too. Robbie Gould, by the way, 25 of 25 in the postseason as far
Perfect.
As field goals, 38 of 38 in the postseason for extra points. Brett Maher, not as good.
That's just putting it gently. That was not painful. A very good performance.
In Yikes. Fact, you know what? And I know, okay, so the Dallas Cowboys beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31-14.
Right.
They will be moving on to the divisional round mm-hmm. of the NFC playoffs to face the 49ers on Sunday at 3:30 p.m. And like in that game, early on, I was just like, man, this is tough to watch. But I guess ultimately, respect goes to Dallas because they absolutely destroyed Tampa.
They and did.
The game we saw Tampa play back in week 14 at Levi's Stadium, 49ers looked like they were on a different level than Tampa. But there was a part of me that thought, oh my gosh, Tom Brady in the playoffs. I don't know if you want to face him. Well, and of course, you know, hindsight being 2020. Of course, the 49ers would have wanted to face this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. They were a below 500 team. Mm-hmm. They were 8-9 in the regular season, 8-10 now. And Dallas, you know what? Dallas is certainly not a perfect team, but they were 12-5 in mm-hmm. the regular season. And they proved to be a superior team to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I mean, you look at the Dallas Cowboys team, they are good players on that team. There's talent on that roster. They just haven't been able to put it together consistently. So when you look at, if you look at the different players, there are good players on that team that are going to be very difficult for the 49ers to face. They're going to be challenges, especially Micah Parsons. And you look at Dak Prescott and his connection with CeeDee Lamb. Those are key players. And there's more than that, obviously, but just those three off the top of my head are the ones that are going to be key players that the 49ers are going to have to stop on Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, Dallas has talent, you know, it mm-hmm. seems like they always have talent.
Right.
You know, they had it last year, the 49ers went in there and won that game at AT&T Stadium. In the first
1 year round. Ago today. One year
was it really?
It was 1 year ago today.
Okay. But like Dak Prescott had a horrible week 18 game against the Commanders, a game that I guess Dallas really didn't need to win. Although if they had won and the Eagles had lost, then they would have won that division. But Dak Prescott looked really good against Tampa. 25 of 33, 305 yards, 4 touchdowns, had a touchdown rushing. And it's not a bad team at all. And you look at the running attack, what they have with Tony Pollard, with Ezekiel Elliott. You mentioned Micah Parsons. Hey, the 49ers are the best team of those two. Mm-hmm. But the way I look at it too is that Dallas has enough really good players that they can make a game of this if the 49ers aren't on their game.
You look at how the 49ers started out their first half on Saturday, and you see where there could be weaknesses. If they come out again slow like that, Dallas comes out fast, that could mean, you know, playing catch up, which is not the best situation to be in a, you know, winner, you know, loser, win or go home situation. So if you look at it that way, they can't let their guard down. They can't come out slow like they did on Saturday.
Yeah, I think ultimately, though, you know, like when I looked at, I still believe this, that when I looked at the potential playoff matchups, I still think that Dallas, like I thought the best case scenario for the 49ers in a lot of ways was to be the number three seed, because I thought that there was a very good chance that the Vikings would lose their first game. And even if they didn't lose their first game, they're very beatable. And that proved to be the case. And I just think that, you know, a Dallas Eagles matchup might have been better for the 49ers, because that would be the way to get, you know, three home games, not necessarily looking past that divisional round game. But I think it's kind of the same thing. I mean, now, you know, I think the Eagles have the easier route. Not that the Giants aren't good. I think Daniel Jones is a lot better than I think a lot of people think he is, and maybe even I thought he was before watching him. He's athletic and everything else. But I think when it boils down to it, Jennifer, I think the only team that can beat the 49ers would be the 49ers.
I think you're right there. If they can play to their potential at like they were in the second half of the game in their wild card game, I think they have a really good chance, because they have so much talent. And you look at all the weapons that are around Brock Purdy. I mean, we've gone over this list. Everybody has, if you've been watching any of the sports news at all, it's talking about Christian McCaffrey and how he's changed the offense. It's Brandon Ayuk and how he's become a better blocker and how he's a much better receiver. It's Debo Samuel being healthy. It's George Kittle. It's Kyle Juszczyk. It's Trent Williams. It's Mike McGlinchey playing better football. So you look at the offense and it's put together well for Brock Purdy to succeed. And he's done a really good job playing much better than an average rookie would be playing. And then the defense is completely solid. They've really got a solid team. And then, you know, maybe their weak spot from last year was their special teams, and they've been playing much better there because they brought in, and that was a focus for them during the offseason, and it's paid off, and they're playing much better on special teams as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're a solid team. And I mean, we can nitpick, and we will through the course of this 49ers talk. We'll be bringing up some stuff a little bit later, but they just have so many different players that, I mean, they basically have superstars at every level. You know, they have the best offensive lineman in the league. Mm-hmm. They might have the best running back situation in the league, although Cowboys are pretty good with their 1-2 punch of Pollard and Elliott. Mm-hmm. They have two number one receivers. When you think about Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, they have one of the top two or three tight ends in the league. They have the best defensive lineman in the league.
They best might, linebacking
they pair. Have the best linebacker and linebackers, yes, in the league. And their secondary will be something we'll talk about a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But, you know, after that game on Saturday, you know, it was all Brock Purdy. There's one part, though, we didn't really talk about. We talked about it a little bit, but I know Kyle Shanahan on Monday talked about the end of the half sequence where we saw throughout the NFL, you know, not necessarily in the game that we were at, the Seahawks 49ers, but, you know, the coaching and the game management and the decisions in, you know, the Chargers loss, in the Dolphins loss, certainly in the Ravens loss, maybe not so much Monday night because that was cut and dried, but there was one thing that could have come back to bite the 49ers, but it happened early enough, I think, in the game right there at the end of the first half. Can you kind of address what Kyle Shanahan talked about as far as the meltdown at the end of the first half?
Yeah, they drove down the field. They could not get into the end zone. They stalled out, settled for a field goal. They had a 2-point lead. Kyle Shanahan says he's involved in the decision. They went for a squib kick instead of a regular kickoff, and it ended up not going in their favor. They, the Seahawks returned it.
Good field position.
Right. They got good field position. They returned it for 14 yards, and then they had 13 seconds left, and all the Niners defense had to do was to make a stop and keep the guy in bounds, whoever had the ball. They stopped Geno Smith. Time would have run out, but Jimmy Ward went flying in there and was called for roughing the passer or unsportsmanlike conduct. And 15-yard penalty pushes the Seahawks into field goal range. They make it because they didn't have the Dallas Cowboys kicker and make the field goal. The Niners end up going to the locker room behind.
Yeah.
Instead of with a lead. Yes, granted, they were getting the ball back at the beginning of the second half, but they could have gone into the locker room with a lead, but they went in with a deficit.
And that's the thing. I think like in playoff football, it's
everything's magnified.
Everything's magnified, but I also think that when you watch all those other games, it's almost a coin flip. Did that team win the game or did the other team lose the game? And, you know, the games I mentioned, you know, the Chargers loss, to me, the Chargers lost that game. I mean, of course, yes, the other team has to make the plays. They have to take advantage of the opportunities, but that was a meltdown for the Chargers. And
yeah, I don't know how you have five takeaways in a game and still lose. That's crazy.
Yes, especially when you're the better team. And mm-hmm. I think that that's the case. You know, the Ravens, man, they could have had that. I mean, what, you know, and I realize it's a young quarterback, a guy who's not real experienced, but what's he doing putting the ball out there on the goal line to just have it taken away from him? The Dolphins, and again, a young quarterback, a rookie quarterback, but the miscommunication and the clock management and the decisions that were made were, you know, those are the kinds of things that lose you games. And mm-hmm. for the 49ers, you know, that it could have, you know, it could have hurt them what happened at the end of the half. It didn't. Yes. But the other thing about this too was that, you know, Brock Purdy did not, as you know, we were going gaga over Brock Purdy in the immediate aftermath of this game on the podcast that we posted Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still, I will stand behind every word I said glowingly about Brock Purdy, but he got off to a slow start.
Yes.
The difference was that he did not let one bad play lead to another, lead to another, lead to another. He snapped out of it and then started making plays all over the place and ended up being a major boost, giving the team a major boost rather than being a hindrance, as you know, it appeared early in the game, like he could have been if it had just gone a different way.
That first pass he threw could have been an easy interception. Deebo Samuel was wide open. He said the ball kind of got away with him. It was a little wet. That could have started a whole avalanche of bad plays, but the next pass completed to Brandon Ayuk. Granted, it wasn't the best half ever, but at least he, like Ted Lasso, memory of a goldfish, don't let that bad play snowball. He is mature enough, has enough experience as a starting quarterback, 4 years at Iowa State, to give him the confidence to move on to the next play.
Yeah. Hey, we got more to talk about, and I do want to kind of stay on this Brock Purdy subject, and let's do that right after this word from Big O Tires.
Now at Big O Tires, buy three tires, get one free on four select in-stock Nexen and Aspen tires with installation purchase. See participating store for offer details or BigOtires.com for additional cash saving specials on name brand tires and auto care services. Ends January 29th.
Life is uncertain. It's okay to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. CalHope can help. Access CalHope's free and secure mental health resources. Call 833-317-4673 or live chat at calhope.org.
Kids aren't mini adults. They're still developing bodies and minds need specialized care, which is why from everyday to emergencies, kids belong at UCSF Benioff Children's Hospitals. Visit UCSFBenioffChildrens.org.
We are back on 49ers Talk. Jennifer Lee Chan, Matt Maiocco. 49ers will be playing the Dallas Cowboys for the ninth time, by the way, ninth time in the playoffs that the 49ers have met the Cowboys. Up to this point, the Cowboys have won five of those previous eight meetings. Last year, of course, the 49ers beat the Cowboys in the very first round. But we were just talking about Brock Purdy. Couple things about Brock Purdy. First off, a follower on Instagram reached out to me and said that she was at a restaurant in San Jose after the game and said it was a really cool scene that after the game, here comes Brock Purdy in with his family going to, I know they had reservations. They went to a back room and people noticed them and started giving them like a standing ovation or at least applause. So that had to be, I don't know how many times that happened to him in at Iowa State, but that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think the appreciation for Brock Purdy in the Bay Area and throughout 49ers faithful is tremendous. And I'm sure he's lived in anonymity in the Bay Area for the first part of his rookie career, but that is no longer.
Yeah.
He is going to be recognized everywhere. His family is going to be recognized everywhere because they are on the TV screen during all the broadcasts while they're at games. And he's just done such a spectacular job that he is now going to be one of the biggest known faces in the Bay Area.
Yeah. And it really is one of the great stories right now in this country. And that's not hyperbole. Like, it really is a cool thing where the number 262nd pick in the draft has been kind of thrust into the spotlight and he's responding, which brings me to another topic. Like, I don't understand why, and I don't know if this is coming from 49er fans or who it's coming from, but I get this sense that people feel like they have to choose between Brock Purdy, Jimmy Garoppolo, Trey Lance. And I think my message to 49er fans would be, shouldn't you just be really, really lucky and feel fortunate that you have these three guys? Oh my God. Like, why do you have to go?
Don't make it so difficult.
I know.
Just enjoy it.
That's not difficult, right? I mean, let's start off with Trey Lance. Trey Lance is like, he's done everything the team has wanted him to do. Like, he is he works hard. His teammates like him. He does all the right things. He was the number three pick in the draft and he's young as heck. Like, he's only, he turns 23 in May.
Right.
So Brock Purdy looks like he just finished up his paper route and he's already turned 23. So theoretically, Trey Lance has a lot of good football ahead of him, lot of good football, like 10, 12 years of good football. Now, do we know that he's going to be a superstar in this league? No,
no,
nobody knows that, but he's talented. He works hard. He's going to give himself a chance to be a really good player.
Right.
But then there's Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo has done everything the right way. Jimmy Garoppolo saved this 49er season. Is he a perfect quarterback? Is he heading to the Hall of Fame? No. Is he in the top half of quarterbacks in the NFL? He very well might be.
I would say top half. I mean, like, even if you're at 49, you're in the top half.
Yeah.
49. You said half.
Well, of starters.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there are a lot of, like, I'm watching these games, you know, could the Ravens have used him? Yes.
Yes.
Could the Dolphins have used him? Yes. Now, I realize both of those teams were had their backups out there. But all these kind of borderline playoff teams like Washington, the New York Jets, could those teams have used him? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So Jimmy Garoppolo is a good quarterback. I've never said he's a great quarterback, but he certainly is not a bad quarterback.
Yes.
And when the story of this season is written, it's going to be written as in Jimmy Garoppolo definitely helped this team get to where they are right now.
Yes.
And then there's Brock Purdy. He's the guy right now. He's the one that came out of nowhere with no expectations. Maybe that's it. Maybe if you have expectations that Trey Lance, as the number three pick in the draft, is going to step on the field as a rookie and light it up, maybe you're disappointed. He's also had the injuries. Maybe if you're thinking that Jimmy Garoppolo should be the best quarterback in the league, maybe you're disappointed. But like Jimmy Garoppolo's, you know, touchdown to interception ratio, his passer rating, all that is really good. I think 49ers fans should be absolutely ecstatic with the depth chart at quarterback, how it started the season and what it's amounted to during the season.
I think they should be very happy with the front office and the personnel department, because putting this roster together, you look at, like we just talked about, how there's players at every single position. The front office has done a really good job. And yes, they haven't hit on everything. There are guys that they probably could have taken lower and they could have taken higher instead. But honestly, you look at the way this roster is built and they've done an incredible job. Also, all three quarterbacks are incredibly nice guys. They're loved in the locker room.
That doesn't matter. But I would say this. They're great teammates.
Yes.
That's more important.
Yes. But they're respectful. They're sincere. Mm-hmm. When we're dealing with them also, I know what we deal with is not as important as what they do on the field. But the fact they're well-rounded people that are sincere when they're giving answers, it reflects on what they're like as a person.
Yeah.
So they're loved in the locker room. They're respected. And you've been around this league for 29 years. You've dealt with some quarterbacks that are not easy to deal with, that are not loved in the locker room. So to have three at the same time on the same roster is pretty remarkable.
I can think of a couple quarterbacks off the top of my head who the other quarterbacks in the room would tell me he's not helpful.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the thing. Like if, you know, all three of those guys, and this is the key, is like you have to know your place. Like mm-hmm. Jimmy Garoppolo has been a starter. When he started the season as the backup, he knew his place. So mm-hmm. his job was to help Trey Lance. Once Trey Lance was injured and Jimmy Garoppolo steps in, then Brock Purdy becomes the backup. Brock Purdy knew his place. It was not to try to compete against Jimmy Garoppolo and beat him out.
Mm-hmm.
It's to help him. And so that, I think, is paramount. And that was the thing in our interview last week with Christian McCaffrey. He said that he felt like Jimmy Garoppolo deserves credit for Brock Purdy's success because Jimmy Garoppolo kind of helped create that culture and the stuff that he does in his preparation. He set a good example for Brock Purdy that Brock Purdy has followed. The other part is, and I don't know, you know, this is something we've said from day one. If Jimmy Garoppolo comes back this season, like in the NFC Championship game or Super Bowl or whatever, the 49ers season goes that far, it was never going to be as the starter.
Right. Right.
You know, so I don't know, you know, that shouldn't even be a thing.
It shouldn't be on anyone's radar at all.
No. I mean, and the reason, as we stated back in, you know, mid-December, if the 49ers season is prolonged to the point that Jimmy Garoppolo gets healthy enough to play, it means Brock Purdy has done an exceedingly great job as the 49ers quarterback. And at that point, are you going to go, oh, you know what? This guy is really good. He's played really good football. The 49ers have won, you know, whatever, X amount of games with him at quarterback. But let's put in the quarterback who hasn't suited up in 2 months. No, it's not going to happen. It was never going to happen. So this is the Brock Purdy show, and there's no safety net for him, and there won't be. Simple as that.
I don't think he needs one at this point. I mean, he has looked like a starter. He's acted like a starter. He's poised. He's calm. Like Kyle Shanahan said during his Monday press conference, he gets revved up. He gets jacked up for games, but he's relaxed enough to be under control. So it's that really fine balance. He's more mature than his age or his looks would you know, show him to be. And it's just, it's impressive. It's impressive. He says all the right things when he's talking to us, which I would think, you know, the guys in the locker room have said he says all the right things in the huddle. And Kyle Shanahan's playbook is not easy. Christian McCaffrey said also that Brock Purdy was a huge reason why he was able to adapt so quickly. So you know, from all sides of the roster, everybody is impressed with Brock Purdy.
And I'll say this. I mean, Kyle Shanahan has not told me this, but I guarantee you at this point, if you have a healthy Trey Lance, if you have a healthy Brock Purdy, and if you have a healthy Jimmy Garoppolo, and you know what each of them has done in each of their respective NFL careers and what they've shown and how well mm-hmm. they fit the offense and how the offense runs with them at quarterback, I think Kyle Shanahan would pick Brock Purdy as the quarterback of health or whatever. I mean, right now, he's running this thing so well. And those second reaction plays, I mean, Saturday was a remarkable performance from the standpoint of, you know, some of those plays, including the Brandon Ayuk drop in the end zone. I mean, those were not easy plays. And I just mentioned Brandon Ayuk dropped a pass in the end zone. That would have been like an all-time highlight reel play.
Absolutely. That would have been one of the top 10 plays on SportsCenter for weeks. And then at the end of the year, when they do the year recap, it would have been all over the place.
Yeah. But what I do want to also point out, and I wrote about Brian and NBC Sports Bay Area on Monday, he had a really good game from a blocking standpoint. I mean, yes. I totaled 90 yards extra the 49ers got offensively, about 50 yards on Christian McCaffrey's run early in the game that set up the first touchdown, and then 40 yards on the Deebo Samuel 74-yard touchdown. We're responsible for because of Brandon Ayuk's blocking. So he had a really good game, and he's really bought into this whole thing that you can impact a game without the ball in your hands. And he did that as well as anybody on Saturday. Also, we didn't point this out on the Saturday night podcast, the offensive line, really good.
Three pressures total.
Yeah, right.
The entire total. Game.
Wow.
Total.
Yeah. And so that's Trent Williams, obviously. First team All Pro, one of the best who's ever done it. But it's also, Aaron Banks, Spencer Burford, and Daniel Brunskill, and Jake Brendel, and Mike McGlinchey. So those guys, big props to them for having a really good game and enabling the 49ers to roll up, I believe, the third most total yards in a postseason game in franchise history. And this team has done some pretty good things in the postseason in the past. So for that to happen, that's pretty impressive. We're going to talk a little bit about the other line on the 49ers as well as the defense after this word from our sponsors.
Looking for a bit of adventure this summer? Look no further than a new fuel-efficient Toyota Hybrid. As the industry leader, Toyota offers more hybrid models than any other brand, so you can live life to the fullest while getting incredible MPG. Go farther than ever before this season in the most fuel-efficient way possible, and save big at the pump all summer long in a brand new Toyota Hybrid. It all starts at Toyota's national sales event. Toyota, let's go places.
Celebrate the year of the rabbit at Graton Resort and Casino with the Lucky Golden Rabbit Giveaway on Friday, January 27th. One $8,000 cash winner every hour, guaranteed. Plus, sign up for the all-new Graton Rewards program and get $25 in free slot play. Experience the best benefits in the Bay. Learn more at GratonResortCasino.com. Complete rules available at the Rewards Center.
Whenever you need a recharge from the gym, training, a race, or everyday life, Fit Aid Energy has you covered. Now in four electric flavors, new Fit Aid Energy's 200 milligrams of clean caffeine from green tea helps fight your fitness fatigue and contains our original post-workout recovery blend. Visit FitAidEnergy.com to save up to 30%. We're back on 49ers Talk, Matt Maiocco and Jennifer Lee Chan, and we do this thing, 49ers overreactions by Northern California Toyota dealers. And I guess it's kind of been the theme for a while now, is that what I sense is the most reason for 49ers fans to feel a little bit uneasy is the pass defense. And Charvarius Ward did not have a good game. You know, he gave up some yards, including the 50-yarder to DK Metcalf. But yes, if there's a bright side, D'Amador Lenore
had a really good game.
He was really good. And even he gave up a couple receptions early in the game, but like he had great coverage and he made the immediate tackle. So I don't know. Do you have a take on Charvarius Ward? And if that's a reason for concern, I know you talked to him quite a bit.
You know, I think it's just one of those things. Some guys, you know, you'll have a really good game and then you won't have a great game. And, you know, when you give up a big chunk play, that's a huge part of your stat line. Mm-hmm. So you could give up one giant play and you could play solid for the rest of the game. And it's still, you have that one 50-yard touchdown that goes on your stat sheet. So he's a good player.
Yeah.
I think when you look at defensive backs, you know, you're going to have good games and bad games. DK Metcalf is a really good receiver. He's, you know, very big. And you look at him, I mean, you look compared to him to D'Amador Lenore's size, and it's a huge, looks like it would be a huge mismatch. He's strong. He's fast, for especially for his size. And it looked like on that one touchdown that DK caught for the 50-yarder, it looked like Charvarius Ward lost his footing a little bit, stumbled, which gave separation, which allowed the pass to be thrown to DK. So, you know, sometimes it's like those little things. He missed a step. You could, you know, get caught up. You could, he also turned around a little early, which slows you down because you can't go full speed towards the end zone when your head's turned the other way. So a few little things timing wise make a huge difference. And he got caught up in those little mistakes on Saturday.
We always talk about how, well, I don't know if we always talk about it, but I always hear guys on defense talk about how pass rush and coverage kind of comes together. Mm-hmm. And the pass rush did not get there on that play. And that was the 6-man rush.
Yes.
And so that, you know, that was part of it. And mm-hmm. You know what? A little bit surprised at this, but I guess it's a good thing when you consider a 49ers win and win decisively against Seattle. Nick Bosa, no sacks, no hits, no hurries. But it was kind of okay because Charles Aminihu mm-hmm. had a good game. Mm-hmm. He had the 2 sacks, but Kevin Givens came back to the lineup. He had a couple of pressures. Samson Ebukam, Eric Armstead had a sack. Jordan Willis had a couple of pressures. And, you know, how the 49ers worked that defensive line, I think, was really good for them because, you know, on a normal game, Bosa and Armstead might be up around the 90% play mark. Like they play a lot.
Right.
But because the 49ers got off to, you know, because the 49ers had that game in hand at the end of three quarters, Bosa only played 59%, Armstead played 53%. And then you had all these guys who also contributed: Aminihu, Ebukam, Willis, Kinlaw, 44% of the snaps, Givens, Hyder, McGill. So that's 9 defensive players who all played around 30% or more of the snaps. And so what that tells me is these guys are going to be fresh. They're going to have an extra day because they played on Saturday and now they'll play on Sunday. And the Cowboys played on Monday. Now they'll play on Sunday. So the 49ers have 2 extra days against the Cowboys and they don't have to travel. So from that standpoint, it sets up pretty well for the 49ers. And, you know, I know we talked about CeeDee Lamb earlier and Dak Prescott and, you know, Dalton Schultz is a good tight end, but there are going to be challenges for the 49ers, but they're in a really good position and they put themselves in this good position to be able to, you know, put their best foot forward against the Cowboys.
Now, not to say that Nick Bosa was not involved in the game, because he was. He had 3 run stops and had the fumble recovery from Charles Aminihu's sack strip fumble. So always a factor.
By the way, we created a lot of stir on my how I misspoke on what Anyway, we're not going to talk about
it. You don't have to repeat it.
No, we're not going to repeat that.
Okay. But I mean, the fact that Nick Bosa will get double teamed, drawing attention away from everybody else, even if his numbers, his stat sheet isn't, you know, filled with numbers, he is definitely affecting the game.
Yeah. And I kind of, that's kind of what I was getting at, was that he can affect a game without having the stats, kind of like how Christian Brandon Ayuk affected the game by blocking, or Christian McCaffrey doesn't have to be the intended target on a pass or even get the ball to impact how the defense plays the 49ers and create stuff for every, you know, somebody else. And so Bosa, by just being Nick Bosa,
right,
you know, future NFL defensive player of the year, he can impact a game and help out some of his teammates by just being out there on the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the rotation of that defensive line is, I mean, keeps everybody fresh. It keeps them very aggressive. Chris Kocurek does such a good job at finding these guys who may not have had production at, in other teams, brings them to the Niners, and they play so well. Charles Omenihu, Kerry Hyder is a guy who played with him back in Detroit. I mean, these guys that he's had that come follow him because they like the way he coaches. They like his play. And then how D'Amico Ryans uses his defensive linemen to just go after the quarterback. They don't have to do as much thinking. I know Samson Ebukam, for him, that was a big thing coming from the Los Angeles Rams to the Niners, because he was able to just pass rush.
Speaking of D'Amico Ryans, busy week for him.
Yes.
And you know, it's interesting, right? Because I mean, he's preparing for a playoff game, but he also has to kind of budget his time to prepare for these head coaching opportunities. He's going to interview with the Denver Broncos on Thursday, and Thursday is kind of a lighter day. You know, the big coaching days, Tuesday, putting in the game plan. They're at the facility late at night. Wednesday is when the team comes in. That's the first practice of the week. And then they do all the stuff and they're there kind of late as well. Thursday, they get home a little bit early. So Thursday evening, he'll meet with the Denver Broncos. And then Friday is kind of a lighter day, lighter practice. Guys get home and rest and do whatever else they do to get prepared for the game. But he'll be interviewing with the Houston Texans on Friday. And then down the road, you know, he'll interview with Denver and Arizona. And I'm not sure if, is there, no, not Denver, Indianapolis asked for permission. Yeah. Denver, he's interviewing with Thursday, and then Carolina is still a team that could possibly interview him as well. So a lot going on. It's, you know, as we said, 49ers are in a good spot. The one of the best things, other than of course the win for the team, was that they come out of this game healthy. You know, it's Juwan Jennings with an ankle sprain. He's considered day to day, as is Samson Ebukam, day to day. Don't know if Ambry Thomas will be ready to go this week. Jackrabbit Jenkins was the backup there, but I mean, it kind of seems like at this point, you know, other than Garoppolo, anyone who can make any kind of impact,
right,
is ready. It's available. To go.
They're available. And so much of getting to the postseason and having success is a little bit of luck in regards to injury, right? These guys have, I mean, everybody is susceptible to injury when they step onto the field. George Kittle has said number of times, no one's 100% by this point of the season. And they're not. They're all dealing with little things here and there. But the fact that overall the 49ers roster is healthy is very lucky for them.
Yeah. Okay. So this has been a bonus edition of 49ers Talk. As we now know, the 49ers will face the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday at 3:30 p.m. at Levi's Stadium.
And it's not going to rain.
It's not going to rain. You know that for sure?
Well, there's no rain for the next 10 days.
That's what they say.
So as of right now, there's no rain.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. You're not a meteorologist.
I am not.
But what the people are saying who do know is that no rain is out there. And so that's a good thing. But I also know that we have a forecast for more 49ers Talk episodes this week.
Yes. And,
just, you know, be sure to follow your podcast. What is it called? Podcast feed
notifications.
and notifications, whatever. In the next few days, we'll be posting more 49ers talk episodes. In the meantime, please feel free to leave a rating and review. And unless you really hate this podcast, but if you hate it, you probably will have already turned it off. So you're probably not listening to this. So if you've made it this far, we trust that you like what you hear and leave a rating or review. It helps other people find it. And we will be back for another episode of 49ers Talk very soon.